Gamecock fans, welcome back to another episode of the Cock of the Walk podcast. And this is your host, Wesley Burris, with my co-host, Taylor Griggs, a Win or Die Sports production. We're bringing it here to you today. A little recap of the Coastal Carolina victory this weekend. A big win, even though it was against a lesser opponent. Got to come out of this game feeling good. What do you think? I mean, 49-15. I didn't expect us to spank them quite like this, but they did everything that I was looking for, and I told you I was looking for going into this game, right? So,
yep.
Your thoughts real quick here at the beginning before we get into numbers and whatnot.
A lot of people downplay it. It's Coastal.
Right.
It's a win. It's something to get your
– it's what we needed.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw Wonnum go down early, I was just, I'm not going to lie, I was thinking, oh, God, here we go again. And, you know, just losing a big-time player that we really going to need once we get into the meat of this schedule, especially what we got coming up this week with the Dogs coming to town. My favorite week of the season every year is playing the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't get as nervous. I think I said this on an earlier episode. I don't get as nervous as I do when we play like a Clemson or something like that because, to me – I always feel like we're going to be in it with the Dogs. They've been way better than us a couple times the last few years, and only one of those years have they really just beat us up. So I'm looking forward to that. But before we get on into probably what will be a long rant about that ball game, I want to say that I was pretty impressed with the showing this weekend. I can't come away with anything really negative. I think the only thing that I can point to, Taylor, that I feel was bad was some of the second and third team guys that got out there on defense, missed assignments from them. And Muschamp even went into his press conference and addressed those issues, saying, you know, we got guys that think they should be playing and they think they've got all the talent. Well, we put them out here, we gave them an opportunity, and they didn't, you know, some of them didn't show up, and they proved they are where they need to be. So we need some improvement there because we're not a super deep football team. But that being said, I really didn't feel like we would cover the spread in this football game, which we did. The spread ended up being 29.5. I saw it go down as low as 28, and then it was bet back up the day of the game. That's just going by the sites that I follow, that my bookie follows. So, you know, I would think that's pretty much was a Vegas consensus. It was 29.5. We did end up covering that. I did not feel like we would score 49 points. Honestly, I was a little upset that Coastal got the touchdown late and whatnot. You know, it is what it is. I just feel like, you know, for the most part, we didn't have many tackling issues. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more pressure up front. The D-line, though, did their job. What were the – I wish I had them in front of me. I don't. The first half stats, but I want to say we gave up like 70-something yards offense in the first half, which is really damn good. We jumped on them early, went out there and kind of asserted our will. What I talked to several guys, you know, texting back and forth while I was watching the game. What I took from it is what I wanted to see, what I outlined in the previous episode, the preview episode of this, is I wanted to see our offensive line sort of impose their will and kind of maul this team. You know, they're a smaller team. They're not as athletically gifted. They're not as strong. They're not as physical. We did that. Our offensive line looked really big. This looks like an SEC offensive line, honestly. I think the last time we had one of those was probably 2014. I feel like we've got a couple pros on this ball club up front. And I feel like teams like this, you know, that don't have as much girth or talent up front, we should be able to push them around, right? We should be able to run the ball. We got a bevy of running backs. We've got lots of guys here, and when we get into the numbers, you'll see that. I'm sure you watched the game. I'm sure you enjoyed it like I did. Again, being able to run the football, you control the clock, you control the tempo of the game, and it just opens up big plays down the line because those safeties have to come up and try to make a play in the run game, and they can't make a play in the passing game later on. You can use a little trickeration or whatnot. I was excited in what I saw in the offense. We didn't go quite as fast sometimes as I thought we could have. But then with, 55 seconds left in the first half, we just go down there, blister down the field, and score a touchdown. It was beautiful. Now, we did have a fortunate play there where Edwards did fumble. And I think it was Casey Crosby, pretty sure, that got on the ball there, saved the drive for us. And we ended up punching it in on a nice little catch and run by Rico Dowdle. So – let's move into the stats. Well, before we do that, Taylor, just if you want to throw anything out there, your thoughts of the ball game, or the, you know, what you, what stood out to you before I get into the numbers, and we can come back to this also later. But
well, I told you at Saturday, Bentley's completion percentage is what I really liked.
It was nice.
Yeah, 22 for 29.
He didn't. I don't think we tried as many deep balls as maybe we could have.
Yeah,
but it didn't seem that we had to. I told you on the preview episode last week that I wanted to see up 225 rushing yards this week. What was the actual number? And we'll go and just throw it out there now. I think it ended up being 260 something.
Yeah.
Is that right?
263.
Okay. So I wanted 225. I got more than that. I felt like if we had balance that we could go out here and rough this football team up, which is what we did. Was it a 65-0 drubbing? No. But 49-15, man, look, there was never a point in this game after the, you know, into the early second quarter where Coastal was in this game. They just weren't. We were better than them. I think we all knew that. But I also think that I had some reservations about what we were going to see on the offense, but it looked pretty damn smooth to me. I mean, there's going to be a big, big difference in competition what we face this coming Saturday. There's no doubt about that. And I don't want everybody to just get too overhyped. But I don't really think we could have asked for much better Saturday. We came out of the game relatively healthy. The Wonnum injury seems to be just a sprain. I think they called it like an outside sprain or something. It's not a high ankle sprain. Nothing that should bother him for more than a few days. And I've sprained both my ankles multiple times. I wouldn't want to go out there and play football on it. But these guys are tougher than me, and they've got trainers and got some good drugs and whatnot. They'll get into him this week, and they'll have him ready to play Saturday, I feel sure. So just before Taylor goes into stats, we're going to give you a scoring summary here. With 12 minutes, so not even 3 minutes into the first quarter, Rico takes a 5-yard run in for a touchdown, which was nice. We had some good balance on this drive. I think we had to convert a fourth down on this drive as well, but it was a short one, and that happened. Then the little crazy play, little shovel pass kind of improvisation from Jake to Keel Pollard for 8 yards with 5 minutes left in the first quarter, put us up 14-0. Coastal got on the board with 12 minutes and 1 second left in the first half to make it 14-3. We come back right at 6 minutes later. Brian Edwards gets a 24-yard pass from Jake. Nice pass that a buddy of mine and I argued about. He was saying Georgia picks that ball off next week, and I just told him, if you go back and look at the play on replay, the safety came down on the play fake. The linebacker made a hell of a play getting back. It was a cover two defense. The linebacker's covering the middle of the field. He dropped back, made a hell of an effort to get back there, got a hand up, but it went over his hand. Look, that linebacker was in a good spot, but that was a touchdown. He still hit him in stride. It was a nice throw. He threw it a little more on line than maybe he could have, put a little more air on it. I get what he was saying, but – you know, still a touchdown, beautiful play. Edwards in the end zone the first game. I like seeing that. He's a stud, and I hope we just get a ton out of him. I hope he has 15, 20 touchdowns this year, honestly. 14 seconds to go in the half. Rico takes a 22-yard pass from Bentley. A little catch and run. Nice little burst of speed there. We went in the hurry up, like I said earlier. Had to fumble. Got back on it. But had a timeout, didn't use it, went completely fast, scored in 55 seconds. It was very nice. Going into the half up 28-3. I was ecstatic at this point. I mean, there's no other word to describe it, that I was just, you know, I was texting several people. I wish I had my dad to talk to about this, because my dad would have enjoyed this game. He would have enjoyed the way we ran the football and ran an up-tempo offense and just controlled the first half. I thought it was outstanding. Wow, we got FSU busting a big play here. Oh, Lord. Well, they might make it a game after.
Finally.
Well, we're going to move into the second half, and Coastal gets on the board, long drive, made center for a field goal, which was nice. So they cut it to 28-6. With 6 minutes 52 seconds left in the third quarter, Tyson Williams has a 9-yard run, and we go up 35-6. Jake, I ought to mention that Shy Smith had a couple of nice moves on a catch one of these last two drives, and I'm just not really remembering the game the way I want to. I haven't gone back and rewatched it. I've watched some of the highlights. I usually watch the games at least a couple times. We'll probably do that in the future, especially the big games. But this is, you know, it's fun to go back and watch the highlights here, but it is Coastal. It was sad to say that it was boring, but I, you know, after a while I was like, well, you know, we're scoring. I wanted to see some younger guys get in there, and we did. We got some guys in there and made some good plays. minute and 2 seconds left in the – this is where Debo just makes the great catch, big one-handed grab. He's got big hands for a small guy. Don't know how he stayed in bounds. Takes a pass from Jake right there on the sideline of the end zone, and we go up 42-6. That was just a beautiful catch. That's going to be on the highlight reel for the rest of the year, I would assume. And early on in the – well, about close to halfway through the fourth, 9:49 left, Bryce Carpenter throws an 8-yard pass to Javon Hiley to cut it to 42-12. They failed on their 2-point conversion run. 6:45 left in the game, Randrickus Davis makes his presence known this season. 27-yard pass from Skarnecki, as Spurrier would say. And then we go at 49-12. And then, you know, late in the game, Coastal moves down the field. And this is what I was saying. The second-team defense let some big plays happen for Coastal. A couple missed tackles here and there and just being in the wrong spot. That'll be corrected going forward. We have a tremendous coaching staff. I think what I've seen is we're starting to get the size and the look back of a contender. I'm not jumping here and saying we're a front runner for the SEC East. This game, this weekend, will let me know where we truly stand. But I do think that we had the look of a team that was just bigger and more physical than Coastal. And they're not a shabby football team. I know they didn't have a good record last year, and I'm not trying to pump them up in any way. But I think, you know, they came out, they gave great effort. They just weren't as good as the Gamecocks. And, you know, it was nice to me. So, end up a 49-15 winner as a 29.5-point favorite. Your takeaway from the game, you said you feel like Jake's completion percentage was awesome. What? Give us the numbers here real quick, and we'll go through a little bit of what we thought before we move on to talking about the Bulldogs this weekend.
So Jake went 22 for 29, 250 yards and 4 touchdowns.
He really only, to me, threw a couple of bad passes. I think one or two kind of sailed on him a little bit. But
He
seemed settled in. No. Because I think he started 7 of 7 or something like that, 7 of 8. He started really well. I'm not knocking the kid at all. I think this new system will suit him. He has a good arm. I'm just saying that I felt like he did make a couple of passes that I felt like, all right, Jake, you know, you've been in the system a little while. You don't have to do that. You know, you're going to have these panic situations against a team like Georgia, against an A&M, against a Clemson, against a, you know, you're going to have those situations where sometimes you just got to let it go into double. You have to, because you have no – you know what I mean? You have – there's not going to be opportunities for wide open plays sometimes. So, that being said, I'm not knocking Jake. I'm just saying that he did have a couple of bad passes. And that's all I can say is a couple of bad passes. Nothing
negative
at all.
I'm sure there were some receivers, some drops or something.
Well, we had – yes, we did. We had a drop. We didn't have multiple drops. I felt like – everybody seemed cohesive.
Yeah.
I feel like the line played well. They protected him well. He got hit a couple times, no doubt about it. There was one time where the ball got batted on a pass he threw a little too low. It got batted back at him, and he did this great move. The defender was looking for it, about to pick it off, and he bats it down like a basketball. It was awesome.
Awareness.
Because, right. That's a great word, because that's what it was. It was, if he's doesn't do that, that might be a pick six.
Yeah.
And because there was nobody behind him. And some people might watch that and say, oh, well, the guy wasn't really going to get the ball. Still, Jake can be a defender there, and he was. So, like I'm saying, he had a couple batted down where he was throwing them a little too low, and against better competition that could hurt us. That's the only gripes I can have about Jake on Saturday, because he played great.
And his backup, Skarnecki, came in 3 for 6, 44 yards, and 1 touchdown.
You know, they were high on him on the radio. I actually missed part of one of the drives he was on. I had to relieve myself. But he, I was just throwing that out there. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have, but I hate that I missed it. I went back and I watched the plays that he was in on. They claim that they can win with Skarnecki. I don't want Skarnecki to be the quarterback against a Georgia or somebody like that. But if they have confidence in him, maybe it's not just coach speak. I'm hoping that if Jake does go down, we have somebody that can step in. The one thing I wanted to see Saturday that I didn't see, I wanted to see Urich or DeCarrion, who I don't really think going forward anytime soon is going to be in a position to be a quarterback at Carolina. We've already discussed that, but – see them come in and run some type of play. But I think if that's the case, maybe we're holding something. You know what I mean? Holding something in for next week, some big surprise. Maybe not. Maybe I could be wrong. How did we fare rushing the football?
Rico, 15 carries, 105 yards, and one touchdown.
The announcers were saying a bunch of stuff in this game about not having 100-yard rushers. I know Rico's had over 100 yards, but I'm pretty sure he did against Tennessee a couple years ago. But I think what they meant to say is we haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since Mike Davis in 2013. I'm pretty sure that's what they meant to say. Rico had a nice day. He looked explosive a couple times, that 22-yard catch and run, a couple runs up the middle. What did he average? Wasn't it over 6 yards a carry he averaged Saturday? Did you have that? Well, it was how much? It was, yeah, it was 15 for 105. That's over six.
Yeah, I don't know why.
15 goes into 96 times.
Yeah, it's not showing it on these stats for some reason.
That's fine.
Tyson Williams, 11 carries, 82 yards, and a touchdown.
That's nice. Over seven a carry for him.
Slade Carroll, 4 carries, 46 yards.
Yeah, he busted one. He busted one and got the crowd to pop there when there wasn't that many people left in the stadium, which it was hot as hell Saturday.
Yes.
And I don't – man, that's the reason – one of the main reasons I didn't go, and I hate that I didn't go, to go see a big win like this, honestly, to see us go put up a bunch of points and some excitement, is because it was going to be so hot. It was. I heard it was 100 or 102 with the heat index. Jesus. That's just bad. I mean, I really think that the SEC should not start football until like the third or fourth week of September. That's just what I believe. I would petition that.
A.J. Turner, 2 carries, 24 yards. Debo Samuel, 1 carry, 11 yards.
Yeah.
And then Jake had 4 rushes for -1 yard.
Yeah, Jake is athletic, but he's not fast.
So 263 total. And 2 touchdowns.
So more than I wanted by almost 40 yards, which is nice because I can't remember the last time we ran for this many yards. I really can't. That was good. I liked seeing it. And had two guys with Tyson and Rico come out and really step up. These are the two guys I think that are at the top of the pecking order. Mon Denson couldn't go. He got banged up in practice and whatnot. So A.J. comes in. A.J. didn't get a bunch of carries either, but A.J. did have one explosive run that I remember. I think went for like 12 or 13 yards. Who led in receiving Saturday?
Shy Smith, 4 receptions, 61 yards, but didn't have a touchdown.
No, but he had one catch where he made a little funky little spin move and looked pretty nifty on the sidelines, got a first down. That stuck out to me.
Debo, 7 receptions, 56 yards, and a one-handed touchdown.
Yes, a one-handed touchdown. He is an awesome athlete. I hope he can stay.
Oh my God.
I hope he can stay healthy throughout the season, because I feel like our receiving core, look, I've said I think it's the best in the SEC. Those cats at Ole Miss are scary good. I mean, there's like three guys that people project to be NFL players off that team. But we're right up there with them, I think. Maybe we don't have quite the size that those cats have, but we have Debo. We have a little bit of everything. It's something for everybody. You know, Shy is sure-handed. He's got speed and athleticism. Debo's a little scat, water bug, fast. Quick, runs good, crisp routes, has great hands. Edwards seems to catch almost everything thrown at him. He's a big body, can jump forever. And then you got Ortrey. You got these tight ends with Crosby and Keel Pollard had the crazy touchdown the other day. Jacob August, who we know can block. They claim he's a good pass catcher too. I just feel like we just got so many weapons. If the offensive line can play sort of like they did Saturday, or even better maybe, we ought to be damn good on offense, man. This was good if you went into this season skeptical about this offense, wouldn't you agree? Like, yeah. I was not being pessimistic about it. I was being cautiously optimistic about the offense because, you know, I know a lot of times coaches can pump things up, but we look pretty good to me.
And Pollard, as you said, had a touchdown grab, a little shovel.
The little improv play there.
He had 2 receptions for 12 yards.
Yeah.
Rodriguez Davis, 1 reception, 27 yards, and a touchdown. Rico, 1 reception, 22 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Tyson Williams had a reception for 15 yards. And there's a few other receivers spread out here one catch.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, guys got in and got to play. We covered the bases there. Defensive stats real quick, no. I know I've been going off on rants here.
T.J. Brunson had
excited about this.
T.J. Brunson had 6 tackles.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Bryson Allen Williams had a tackle for 3 tackles for loss.
Yeah.
One sack, a quarterback hurry.
To stop right there, this is somebody that Muschamp raved. Hey, it's huge that we got him back this year. Lost him last season. This is an edge presence that we need. Can play that buck position. Can play outside linebacker. They're going to line him up. You know, like I said, they're going to put him down sometimes. Up, he's going to be in a 2-point stance sometimes. Sometimes play true linebacker position. Going to be an edge rusher pretty much because they like the way he can seal the edge and he can get to the quarterback. He's big. He's mean. He's nasty. He likes to hit people. He's a good athlete. It took him a while to blossom into the player that he's become, but not having him on that team last year hurt a little bit, and the defense ended up being pretty damn good without him. So I'm excited to see what he can do going forward. Like you said, 3 tackles for loss. Man, good, pretty good day at the office.
Javon Kinlaw, 5 total tackles, half sack, and 1.5 tackles for loss.
Beast in the middle. Several plays I watched, you know, we had a surge, like a Muschamp coach Boom talked about the surge on the offensive line. I saw a surge on the defensive line several times, even though we didn't get as many sacks I think some of us wanted against Coastal or tackles for loss. We disrupted their offense a lot.
Shamik Blackshear had a tackle for loss.
He did. Once one of them came out, he came in and replaced.
Steven Montag had a half sack and a half tackle for loss.
Yeah.
So total, we had
I think 8 tackles for loss or 9, wasn't it?
8 tackles for loss, 3 sacks. Yeah, so.
Not bad. I think they asked – excuse me. Wow. That came out of nowhere. They actually asked him in the presser if that was a number that he was looking for every week. And he said, oh, good question. But he said, yeah, I think it's a good number, but never really thought about it like that. He said, maybe we'll look into that. So that was almost like a spurrier answer to me, it seemed like. All right, and that's pretty much the statistic.
And just to go over some Coastal stats, Kilton Anderson went 11 for 13, 91 yards, no touchdowns. Bryce Carpenter, backup quarterback, I guess, went 2 for 5, 21 yards, 1 touchdown. Rushing, they had Marcus Outlaw, 12 carries, 59 yards. Taurus Maribel, 5 carries, 29 yards, no touchdowns. Jaquiz Harrison, 3 carries, 22 yards, no touchdowns. Receiving, Malcolm Williams had 6 receptions for 49 yards. And Javon Hiley, something like that.
Who cares? 49-15.
2 receptions, 21 yards, and 1 touchdown. So altogether, they had 112 receiving yards. 1 touchdown, 131 rushing yards, and no touchdowns.
Good.
Yes.
That's. I mean, we did our job. I'm getting repetitive here because we've already kind of marked down over this a little bit. But I think that nobody in Garnet and Black Nation can be mad about how this football game went. You can nitpick the second team defense. You can, you know, nitpick a couple of play calls here or there. But, hey, man, we executed. We blocked well. We tackled well. We didn't commit a turnover, which was huge. When's the last game we didn't have a turnover? So we almost had one, but we didn't. Almost doesn't count. So 49-15, bottom line. Went out there, kicked their ass, showed them, you know, this is big boy football. We're a little bit better than you guys. They're FBS level now. They recruit pretty well. I don't know how well they can do in their division because the Sun Belt's got a few tough ball clubs in it. We saw App State, who's a team that they play, going to play every year now. I think they're in the same division, pretty sure. Saw them give Penn State everything they wanted. Look, you just look around the nation. If you're feeling bad about Coastal getting over 200 yards of offense on you, just look at what happened to several other teams and how they struggled on Saturday with teams that they were supposed to manhandle. Bottom line. I mean, one of my picks on our other little gambling thing, I picked Old Dominion to take care of Liberty. That was a 17-10 game. Liberty was up, I think, going into the fourth quarter. They ended up coming out and beating Old Dominion 52-10 in a game where they were underdogs. So, you know, this can happen. But it's not going to happen to a team like the Gamecocks because we're too damn talented now. Look, let's look at it as a step in the right direction. We've got the Bulldogs this week. This is the One, this is what everybody's had circled all offseason. Bottom line, Muschamp was not going to allow these guys to look ahead. Obviously, they did not. They showed up to play. A lot of times at noon, we talked about this on the last episode, the home team can get a little lazy because they're close to home. You know, it's a team that you should walk through and beat, blah, blah. I'm glad that this wasn't a 31-17, 31-24 type ball game. I know you are too. And I know all the Gamecock Nation is. So we did what we were supposed to do, took care of business, stayed relatively healthy. Now the big one.
Speaking of.
What?
ESPN FPI projections just put out this little thing with the
likelihood of
their Georgia's remaining schedule. 73.3 chance of
going undefeated.
No, of
beating us.
Yeah,
I saw something similar to that.
Their hardest game's Auburn at 58.7.
They still give them a 58% chance to beat Auburn.
Yep.
That's kind of weird to me, man. It really is. Because you're banking really on Jake Fromm having to take a step forward and become a better quarterback in my mind. Not that he wasn't bad last year, or that he was bad last year, because he wasn't. He took care of the football.
Yeah, I tell you what looks harder. That LSU game looks a little tougher now.
I would say so. And not because I think LSU played like dog trash on offense. But you know what? Their defense looked good last night. And maybe that had something to do with competition. It might have. But you know what? The Canes didn't look good. The Noles don't look good tonight on this garbage, soggy field. Virginia Tech has played poorly on offense. And
yeah, this quarterback.
Their defense has dominated.
Has underthrown more balls.
Florida State's offensive line looks like garbage. Miami's offensive line looks like garbage. Gamecock Nation, I'm throwing this out there right now. We're better than Florida State and Miami. Just wrap your mind around that right now. How many times have we been able to say that? It's been several years since we've been able to say that. I think we're better than both. I think that we're better than both of these teams on the field right now that we're watching the end of this garbage. VT's up 24-3. Look, the national media has locked on to Georgia, and they have a love affair with them for some reason, but there's no Nick Chubb. 27's not back there. Number one's not back there, Sony Michel. I think DeAndre Swift is a hell of a back, but I don't think he's a bruiser. We stayed in our lanes last year, and we tackled fairly well and played a hell of a physical ball game against them, and they scored late to go up by two scores and beat us. We covered the spread against them last year. Speaking of spreads, a buddy of mine texts me Saturday afternoon, what do you think the spread's going to be, around 6.5, Wes? I said, man, honestly, Georgia went out there and kicked ass today. They won 45-0, but they played Austin Peay. We played better competition. We won 49-15. To me, the game being in Columbia, CBS, national television, game's been circled by our players for a year. You know, a lot of our players are from Georgia. I thought it would be – he said 6.5. I disagreed with him and said I thought it would be somewhere around 3, that we would get the benefit of the doubt of being at home but would still be an underdog. And we're 9.5-point dogs to the dogs this Saturday, which I think could creep up because –
if that's not bulletin board material.
Well, can it really be? You lost by 14 of these guys last year. It was in Athens. I get it.
Yeah.
You're right. No, it definitely needs to be. I don't think there needs to be any more fuel added to the fire that Muschamp is going to fan this week on the boys. What I've seen, he keeps reiterating, we're a blue-collar team. We go to work. We bring our lunch pails, go to work at practice. We go to work in the weight room. He wants them to go to work in the classroom. He wants to get it done on Saturdays. Ultimately, that's what this is all about. Staying, doing well enough academically to where you can play on Saturday. But yeah, they're a little lenient on all that. That's fine that he talks about that. I appreciate it. I honestly do. But ultimately, everybody listening to this and everybody going to the games, they're going to watch him win. They're going to watch him be really, really good. And I just think this – look, Georgia might come into Columbia – and they might beat the hell out of the Gamecocks this weekend. They might. But I don't think they will. I don't. And I never do. And that's why I told you this is my favorite week of the year. Because I always feel like we're close to the dogs. There's been a couple years. I was actually talking to you about the 06 game earlier today that you didn't remember. where they beat us 18-0 in Columbia, and all they did was kick field goals. It was a horrible game. Horrible. I knew that both defenses played extremely well. Georgia's offense moved the ball. We didn't let them do anything in the red zone, but they kicked 6 field goals and beat us 18-0. That's fine. This ain't 2006. We've got talent on this ball club, and we've got guys that played toe-to-toe with them for 3.5 quarters last season. And then at the end of the game, we were just worn down mentally, physically, and the Dogs had a nice drive, ran the ball efficiently late. And when you have backs, not a back, like Chubb and Sony Michel, you can work guys. And we're going to get into some of their stats in just a second, but yeah, I just want to
– That's just a defense killer.
Absolutely. But I don't think Jake Fromm can beat us. That's just what I think. They're going to have to beat us running the football. I think if we're – all right, so we had, 490-something yards. I think it was 493. Is that right? Last week, whatever. Right at 5. Let's just round it up. We had almost 500 yards of offense last week. If we get over 400 this week or right around 400 against Georgia, we're going to be in this ball game. It's that simple. I think we're better than a double-digit dog to them because I feel like what's going to happen with this spread, if you guys fancy yourself betters, I think this is going to move up. I think it's set at a line to where people, they get action on both sides. That's what Vegas does. And we'll see what the real line is come Tuesday, tomorrow morning, because this is all speculation. It could be that. Earlier this summer, I want to throw this out there, the line was 11.5 or 12.5 somewhere. Danny Sheridan, who likes to think of himself as a gambling guru and comes on the SEC Network, ESPN sometimes, he was on the Paul Feinbaum show and said, Georgia will pop South Carolina and Columbia. That was his words. They will pop them. So Feinbaum said, a lot of people think South Carolina is the team Georgia needs to watch out for this year. And he said no. And he said, well, what do you mean by – Paul asked him, Danny, what do you mean by pop the Gamecocks? He said, that means win by more than double – well, by double digits. Not more than double digits, but my God.
Triple digits.
But he said, that means they win by double digits. So I think this line's actually low. He said he would think that it would be somewhere around 14 or more.
Mm.
And he thinks that – he made this statement back in, I think, late June, early July. I actually read this yesterday, and it kind of perturbed me a little bit. That you're talking about a football line in June or July, I can't take you seriously as a handicapper. If you're going to tell me what you're going to handicap a football game before you even know who in the hell is going to qualify to come to campus – and who's going to make it through the summer practice, and who's going to not get banged up the first week of the season. This kind of crap to me is why I don't like ESPN. It's why I don't like people speculating on stuff. And here I am doing it on a podcast. But I'm not pretending to be a genius. I never will. I'm going to be wrong a lot. This is my opinion show on the Gamecocks. I stated as such on the first episode. But I do take offense that somebody can say that a team that beat you by 14 last year should easily be a double-digit favorite, a 14-point favorite or more this year, whenever he knows that they lost 9 players or 8-9 starters off the defense, which is an outstanding defense.
Two NFL running backs.
You know, get out of here, Danny Sheridan. And you might end up being right, but that's garbage to me. It really is. 9.5, I could see it being bet up to 10. Maybe higher. Depends on how the public perceives what happened last week. Most of the time early in the season, the public is going to ride what the polls say. They're going to look at stats. They're going to say, well, Georgia has a bigger name. They're going to bet the name. A lot of gamblers do this. Now, I'm not perfect at betting on football. I actually went 0-0-1 this past – or 0-1-1 this past week. So I had a loss and I had a push. And I had a push that – really should have never been a push, and I had a loss that I absolutely deserve for not doing enough research, and that's my bad. But I'll say this. I feel like they could beat us by 10, but it still shocks me that that's where this line is, right around that 10-point mark. That being said, I'm going to run through some stats for Georgia last week and see if my mind has changed, because I don't think it is. They had 508 total yards of offense against Austin Peay. 224, that was through the air. They were 21 or 27 passing as a team. 284 rushing yards on 33 carries. That's pretty nice, but against far inferior competition. Fromm went 12 of 16 for 157 yards and two touchdowns. He had a nice quarterback rating somewhere. I think I read something like 96.
That's not hard to do when you don't throw 16 times.
And that's what he tends to do every game, though. Yeah. That's what the Gamecocks have to do, I think, is make him throw the ball more. He threw the ball, I think, more than his average going into our game last year against us because we stuffed the run game pretty well. Now, I don't know if our defensive line is better than it was last year. But I think our defense is going to be pretty good. It's going to be pretty salty. I feel like the other day it's really hot. I think it's hard to play your best in a game like that. Saturday's going to probably be hot. I think the high is like 90 or 91. We'll see if the weather changes. Hopefully it does. Justin Fields, this much-heralded number one dual-threat quarterback in the nation, he's the backup. He kind of scares me a little bit because he's a hell of an athlete. He went seven of eight passing for 63 yards and a touchdown. He also had three rushes for 33 yards. So he didn't bust anything loose, really, but does have present a threat in the running game. Demetrius Robertson, which is a guy that I couldn't even find on their depth chart earlier when we previewed the East, had never heard of him. He's a sophomore wide receiver. He had one rush for 72 yards and a touchdown. I'm assuming that that could have been a screen pass or an end around. I didn't really go watch any of their highlights. I saw a piece of this game, and I heard who was announcing it, and she just has a grating voice to me, and I had to turn the channel. I said, well, I'm not watching the Bulldogs today, and I can't remember what I turned it to after that, to be honest with you. James Cook, who's a young freshman running back, six rushes for 66 yards. They let him get some significant playing time. DeAndre Swift, their starter, had eight rushes for 43 yards and a touchdown. As I mentioned, Justin Fields had three rushes for 33 yards. He's their backup quarterback. Probably going to use him a lot, I would think. We're going to see a healthy dose of him next week. Evander Holyfield. His son plays for us, one of his sons. I think he's got 15 or 16 children. He had five rushes, 24 yards, and one touchdown. He's been on their squad for a couple years. Receiving, Mecole Hardman, two receptions for 63 yards and a touchdown. Riley Ridley, three catches, 33 yards, one touchdown. DeAndre Swift out of the backfield, four catches, 33 yards. And Isaac Nuatu, that's their tight end. I don't know if I pronounced the name right, but he's their tight end, starting tight end. He had one catch, 12 yards, and a touchdown. Here's the good numbers, though, if you're a Georgia fan, not if you're a Gamecock fan. 152 yards allowed on defense, only 61 passing. 91 rushing. They did force one turnover, which was a fumble. Georgia has a fumble themselves. I can't remember who I read fumbled. I didn't write it down. All right. So, getting back to my rant on the Bulldogs, because I hate them, man. I mean, I really do. This team, to me, it might as well be Clemson. And I feel the same way, and maybe some other Gamecock fans do, especially the ones that are older than me. I feel the same way about North Carolina. There's just three teams that I look at that I can't stand. And maybe Florida should be on that list or Tennessee above North Carolina, but they're just not. That's just how my mind works. That's who I picture as our three biggest rivals, and I say that not because we don't play North Carolina in anything really, but maybe baseball, but we recruit against them in everything, and I think we've really out-recruited them in football for a long, long time now, with the exception of a year or two here and there. But Georgia – look, we've beat them 18 times, I think, all time. That's horrible. I think they've beat us 53 or 54 times. You know, Clemson hasn't had much success against them either. Georgia, they've owned us. There's no doubt about it. We've had stretches where we've played well against them. We were very competitive with them in the late 80s. Got a couple wins, under Spurrier. We had three in a row. Then we beat them again. They had got us what they got us 2013. We got them again in 2014. So we beat them 4 out of 5. And now they've got three straight on us. So, and one of them was a drubbing back in 2015 where it was like a 17-point game. They just busted loose in the second half. We couldn't do anything. Our defense was horrible that year. Then we had the Hurricane game couple years ago where we kind of kept it tight. I honestly, you know, I hate to even say this. I think they were kind of taking it easy on us a little bit. But we played fairly hard, and we were competitive with them a little bit. Last season was a really hard-hitting gritty football game. And I feel like this season is going to look a lot like that. I hope it doesn't. I actually hope we just go out there and blister them, as everybody listening to this does too. My predictions for this game, this is simple. In any football game, you cannot turn the football over. But if we do turn the football over, it's got to be the right kind of turnover. And you know what I mean by that? Like, if you're throwing a deep ball and it's like ends up like a punt, that's not as bad. Now, that doesn't need to happen when you think you're going to have points on the board. Like, if you have – which we don't – there ain't no sure field goals with the Gamecocks. But we have to win the turnover battle. We have to – but we can't go out here and be vanilla against Georgia. We can't. We have to play hard to win this football game. We need to go out here – be confident. Run the offense that we ran this past week. Get a little more up tempo. I think that might be the key. But if we can keep a little balance like we did last week, like I said earlier, we can get 380, 390 or more total yards of offense, I think we win this ball game. Now, if we beat Georgia, I don't think we're going to go beat Georgia by 14 points, 17 points. I don't think we're that good yet. I just don't. But do I think that we can go out here and win this game? I absolutely do. I think we need to control the line of scrimmage. Obviously, we have to win the rushing battle. I think we need to – it's going to be hard to rush for more yards than they do, because I know even though they're bringing a lot of new faces in on the defense, man, Georgia's just, what, number one recruiting class in the nation this past year, big recruiting class last year, ton of athletes. Kirby Smart's a great defensive mind. This new scheme they run, that 3-4 that they go to most of the time, it's attacking. It's meant to stop the run. That's what that's meant to do. Very pro-style defense, but an attacking pro-style defense. They always have athletes in the back end. I don't think we're mismatched at any position against Georgia. I honestly don't. I think they're starting a freshman on the offensive line. So I think, if anything, we might have more veterans on the field than they do. So I don't think there's a big mismatch anywhere. At least I hope there's not, and I'm not seeing one. So if we take care of the football, we can establish the run, and Jake doesn't make many mistakes, and he can hit some big throws. Because, look, they're going to have problems covering all these guys we have at wide receiver. They really are. It's hard to cover what I think are three NFL guys out there. It really is. I think Edwards is an NFL player. Debo's an NFL player. I think Shai Smith is an NFL player. It's going to be tough. Now, Georgia's probably got a couple that are going to play in the league of their own. They didn't really do anything this past week. Again, that's Georgia style. I-backs pound the rock at you. If they can keep doing it, play action pass, they're going to do it all day. So we do have to play like we did last year, honestly, between the hedges, and play smart. Don't turn the football over. Jake had a late interception last year. It was bad. We can't do that this year. We got the home crowd. We got the Gamecocks behind us. It's going to be a full place. It's going to be rocking. Parking's going to be more expensive than at any other time of the year. It's going to be a ton of people coming here trying to buy tickets outside. Scalpers selling them for God knows how much, probably $150, $175 a piece. Who knows? It's going to be rocking. It's going to be hot. If we play to our potential, I think we can – I still think it's going to be a hard-hitting game, but I think there'll be some – points will be at a premium. I do believe that. But I think this offense we have, it's going to kind of scare them a little bit, I think. I'm going to give my prediction. And this is probably as optimistic as you're going to hear me sound unless we win this game. But I'm going to give my prediction, Taylor. I think we beat the Georgia Bulldogs 27-17.
Wow.
That is my prediction. 27-17, we beat the Bulldogs. I think what happens is we come out and we get up on them early, 7-0. It's a dogfight for a little while. They tie it back up. We go back and forth. And I think, just being in Willie B, something big is going to happen late. We get a turnover. They fumble a punt, something like that. Maybe we block a kick. I'm calling it 27-17 Gamecocks, and – we're going to be on our way at that point to defend our place above the East, at the top of the East. Because here's the thing. Whoever loses this game is essentially two games behind in the East. And I know getting ahead of myself and thinking that we're going to contend in the East could be kind of foolish. I typically don't think this way. But I told you on a previous episode that it's really wide open between Florida, Missouri, us, and Georgia at the top of the East. This game is huge. And I'm not telling you that I'm just smarter than everybody else, and I think we're definitely going to win by 10 points. But that's my prediction. We go out there, we beat the Bulldogs. I just threw a final score out there, but I think we definitely win on Saturday. What's your thoughts?
I told you.
You said wow, so.
Well.
Give me a score. Give me your thoughts and give me a score. But you can take your time. I don't care.
27, Georgia. 31, Carolina.
Oh, 31-27, huh? Yeah. That high score?
Yep.
That's really not high scoring anymore. That used to be considered. Really. And this game could be one of those crazy-ass old-school Georgia-Carolina games that's 14-13. You said earlier you told me we'd win by a point.
1 point.
1 point. Hey, that's all it takes. I don't know if my soul can take that this Saturday. I really don't. I don't think we're going to run away with it when I say 27-17. Like I said, I think it's a close ball game. They make some mistakes late. We're at home. Fromm has played in some hostile environments. He sure has. He takes care of the football. I don't think Jake Fromm's a better quarterback than Jake Bentley. I know a lot of people probably do.
No,
I don't.
That's false.
I don't. He doesn't have the receivers we have. Are their running backs light years beyond ours? No, they're not. I think we have better players on offense than they do. And I think our defense might not be as good, but it's not much worse. So I just think, honestly, starters, I just think we might be – we're going to be better than Georgia on Saturday. That's just what I believe right now. Take that for what it's worth. You're looking at me like I've blown your mind. Like you thought I was going to pick Georgia?
No, I don't know. We're getting a little too optimistic, I feel like.
No, that's not what it is. It's not drinking the Kool-Aid because I'm actually drinking water right now. It's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with that. It's the fact that I'm looking at things from all angles. This is when, I don't know. I'm not saying I feel something special about this team. That's not why I'm not going there yet. I told you I might go there if we win this game. I'm just really optimistic, but I've already explained. I'm kind of not myself this week every year because I always feel like we can beat Georgia. So maybe that's stupidity on my part, but it is what it is. I'm calling it. 27-17 Gamecocks, I'm sticking by it. As I was saying it, I almost didn't believe it. But I said it, I'm going to stick by it. That's what I think, man. I think we're going to beat the Bulldogs this week by hook or by crook. I think Muschamp's going to have a good press conference. I hope we can come out of this game healthy. I really do. If we win, we got to come out healthy because this is going to be hard-hitting physical. This is a big-time football game. We're getting put on the back burner because of Clemson A&M, other games like that. We're not ranked. That's fine. LSU took care of business. I told you if LSU would have lost, we'd have probably been ranked because we had a bunch of votes there at like 26 from what I saw. That doesn't matter at all. You beat the Bulldogs there, number three, guess what? Rocket ship into the top 15, which I don't necessarily care for, but that's how these things tend to go. That being said, that's all I've got to say about this game this week because I'm excited. I'm pretty sure Willie B's going to be rocking, sold out, packed to the max. If they had rafters, they'd be hanging from them. Might be hanging from the damn lights out there. Who knows? There's going to be I'll put it like this. I think there'll be more people in there than stadium holds.
Yeah. Because
we've done that several times, and I think this is going to be one of those games. This is a big one, man. It really is. And the last Georgia-Carolina game that I actually went in the game, because I didn't go in 14 when it rained really bad. I gave my ticket away, and I was a little drunk and stayed outside and watched it. Look, that doesn't make me less of a fan. If you think so, get out of here. But 2012 when I was in there and we beat the shit out of them 35-7, probably one of the best days of my life. So I'm looking forward to having another notch here. We need to beat the Bulldogs. This is the fight for 20. Let's get the 20 wins on them. You got to get to 19 before you get to 20. So that's what we got to do this Saturday. Anything you want to add?
Nope.
That's all I got to say. So thanks for listening to the Cock of the Walk podcast. Appreciate any feedback you want to give us. Tune in next week. We'll be recapping the Georgia game. Hopefully it'll be happy days. And then we'll get on into talking about the Wildcats. I think that's who's next after that. Am I right? I don't want to misspeak here, and I should know that off the top. Yep, I spoke too soon. Wildcats the week after that. So we'll be recapping the Bulldog game and talking about the Thunder and Herd the week after that. Till then, go Gamecocks! This has been your host, Wesley Burris, and my co-host, Taylor Griggs. We wish you all a good week.